Hello, I'm John Ellis, and welcome to episode 85 of Pittodrie PS, the predominantly Dons-based podcast featuring not just the Dons first team, but a look across the age groups and genders at the club. And we focus on the respective progress of Cove and Peterhead too, as well as the North East local representatives in the Highland League and juniors, and not just football, but any sport making headlines in the North East of Scotland or featuring someone from the North East of Scotland. Joining me for this journey, as always, Andrew Shiney and Dave McDermott. So here we are, recording this episode on the morning of Tuesday, August 1st, 2023, having previously convened on May 30th, and we haven't really got a clue what's coming between now and the end of the first episode back, which is a trend we're likely to continue throughout the entirety of yet another season. Let's start, though, as always, with the Dons, and we'll look ahead to the first game of the season proper in just a moment. But first, Andrew, maybe you can give us your thoughts on the ins and outs of the close season so far and your hopes and expectations for the campaign to come.
Well, there's been a lot of ins and outs, probably as busy a close season as there's been in many years. Outs: Campbell, McLennan, Pollock, Scales, Joe Lewis, Jaden Richardson going away on loan, McCrory, Markendy, Mislevich, Watkins, Kennedy, Horter, Hancock and Roberts. Coming in: Esther Sockler, Ordadia on loan, Leighton Clarkson, which we'll talk about later. Great, great move, that one. Rhys Williams on loan. Slobodan Rubicic yesterday. Ross Duan, Nicky Devlin, Graham Shinney. And coming back almost as new signings, well, in two cases, Dante Polvara and Vinnie Bazawan, and also Anthony Stewart, who sadly still looks a player totally devoid of confidence when you see him. But yeah, very, very busy. So it's going to be a massive season for Aberdeen. So much to look forward to in terms of European football, but a very, very heavy workload for the squad. So it's going to be interesting to see how things are balanced between domestic football, European football, trying to be competitive at both. It's going to be a real juggling act for Barry Robson. But I think he's signed well. And Leighton Clarkson, I think, signing of the season so far for any club in Scotland, regardless of who Rangers and Celtic have brought in, I don't think anybody will come in who will have a greater influence in a game than Leighton Clarkson. And that was a signing that showed real intent from the Pittodrie board, not just getting him back here, but getting him here in a four-year contract. Fantastic piece of business.
What about you, Dave? What's pleased and impressed you in the Dons business so far? And what, if anything, are you concerned about?
Like Andrew, I think Leighton Clarkson signing, not that he's going to be with us, I don't think, for 4 years, but it does give us the, you know, the fact that we'll get a fee for him, not a substantial fee either, if he does move on, but that's a fabulous signing. No, I think, like Andrew, I've been impressed with the way we've gone about it. We know, though, the proof of the pudding is you can roll the results in pre-season. They mean not a jot once the action starts, and we've already seen, you know, Hibs in Europe, for Lee Johnson to say that wasn't an embarrassment, that was an embarrassment. Andrew and I both watched it, and it was very embarrassing. You know, and we look at the Viplay Cup, St Johnson, who, on the face of it, look to have a decent squad, although they've lost a lot of players and haven't signed too many. They're out already. You know, it's so, pre-season's gone well, apart from the one game. But it is pre-season, and it's all about getting up to speed, and the test will be on Saturday. It's good to see that I think Aberdeen have learned from the mistakes that Hearts made last season when they were in Europe till Christmas. But, you know, admittedly, Hearts had an awful lot of injury problems as well, which certainly didn't help. But to double up in each position, I think, is absolutely the way to go, and it's got to be the way to go if you want to maintain a challenge both domestically and on the European stage as well. But this time next week, we'll have a better idea of just how good or otherwise pre-season has been. I watched Livingston last week, we'll come on to that. Obviously, I saw them last week, wasn't that impressed with them, but we'll talk about that. So, that in answer, I don't know, I think, is because the signs are promising, but we've been here before, when we've had a great season, and then it's all gone when the first competitive game started. We know playing Thursday, Sunday in Europe, it does take a toll, and that's why I think the fact that confidence of being in Europe till Christmas, we're able to bring some more players in than we would normally have for a season where you don't know when you're going to be knocked out of Europe, usually before the final playoff game.
Barry's spoken about having cover for all positions of the team, which won't be a simple case of one team for Europe and another for the league. But the clear intent here is to try and have strength and depth so we don't do a Hearts and start, you know, before fading off in the second part of the season. Already looking a little stretched defensively because of injuries, but assuming everyone's fit and there's no emergency cover buys, how far away do you think Barry is from a complete squad, a full deck, as it were, Andrew?
I don't think he'll feel that he's that far away from it. As you mentioned, injuries, you know, Anthony McDonald, Reece Williams, Angus McDonald and Reece Williams. Reece Williams has played 45 minutes out at Turriff and hasn't been seen since. Angus McDonald hasn't been seen on the pitch at all so far. That's a little bit of a worry. Young Jack Milne has been playing at centre-back, but very inexperienced. I think Rubizic coming in may go straight into the team on Saturday, depending on how the coaching staff assess his match fitness. So there are maybe one or two areas still to be strengthened. Left side of defence, obviously the name Liam Scales keeps cropping up, but he went to Japan and he went to Ireland with Celtic. He's played games for Celtic. I think Brendan Rodgers obviously trying to say, well, you're going to have to pay money if you want to bring him up to Pittodrie on a full-time deal. It's whether the board are prepared to shell out and take Liam Scales in, but he was a success in the latter part of last season, and there's no reason to think that he can't go on and do the same again if he were to come back to Pittodrie. But midfield, I think we're quite strong, and we've enhanced our forward line. Esther Sokler, yes, it was Turriff United. Yes, it was Fraserburgh that he scored his five goals against. But in the 2:45s that I saw him playing in these games, he looked very sharp. He's got a bit of pace about him. He can take the ball in. He can run beyond. He certainly knows how to finish. He's got a confidence about him that I like. And having Bojan back a lot earlier than we all thought he was going to be after that horrific injury against St Mirren at the back end of last season. And Duke getting back up to speed, as we saw in that goal that he set up for Graham Shinney down at Charlton. Big centre-half comes across and goes, I'll knock you off the ball. No. He battered into Duke and he bounced back about 3 yards into the penalty area on his backside. So Duke is there again. So I think we're well placed up front. Just need maybe a little bit more in terms of defensive reinforcements. But if the injuries to Williams and McDonald are not that serious, it may well be that Barry feels that he's got cover for every position. So I think it's looking good. But as Dave said, you know, pre-season, it's all about getting minutes into legs. Ignore results because they don't matter when you kick off at 3 o'clock on Saturday. So the proof of the pudding is going to be in that opening game against Livingston, which will not be easy, but it will give us a yardstick by which to measure Aberdeen for the coming season.
What about you, Dave? In terms of the squad, do you think we're short anywhere and need more people in?
Yeah, I think it is defensively, central defensively, depending on, as Andrew touched on, depending on Williams and McDonald, you know, the extent of their injuries. But that is an area where it would be great if Liam Scales, something can be worked out, because he knows the club, he knows the Barry's methods, etc. So it would be a real boost. But I think midfield, yes, we're covered. Up front, there's probably, you know, with Alfie Bavage knocking on the door as well. It's, as Barry's admitted himself, he's got the you know selection problems to work out of a good side, and up front is an area where he has got options. So I think goalkeeping. Is fine after the signing of Ross Doohan. So I do think the only slight niggle is defensively and in particular central defence.
Of course, I mean, there is a possibility that players may go as well. There was a shirt thrown into the crowd at the Charlton game from a player that didn't even take the field, as I understand it. But there is a possibility we might lose a midfielder soon, Andrew.
Well, there's a lot of talk flying about, particularly in Italy, about Verona and Lecce trying to buy Ilber Ramadani. And to be perfectly honest, if Aberdeen can convert a £100,000 buy into a £1 million departure, that's a fantastic piece of business. I think possibly would need an extra body in midfield. And I think that is why they were keen on signing the guy Tonio Teklic in the summer, but he went to Turkey instead. So I'm quite sure the recruitment team will have another target in mind if Ramadani is to go. But if he goes, he will go with our best wishes. But I think Dante Polvara has come back into the fray. A lot of people thought that when he went to Charleston Battery on loan, that was the last we're going to see of Dante, but he's come back. And I think it was a good loan move for him to go back to the States where he comes from, to be able to, you know, link up with his family once again, play as many minutes as he did for that club out there. He's come back.
It's like the $6 million man, isn't it? We have rebuilt him.
It's almost like that. I mean, Johnny Hayes was waxing lyrical about him after the Charlton game, saying how he's one of the most complete footballers that there is in the squad at Pittodrie. But that's one thing doing it in the training ground. It's another thing doing it in the hurly-burly of an SPFL match. Now, if he can do that, brilliant, because he's a big athletic specimen. He can shoot with either foot. He can get himself up and down the park. He can tackle. I'm looking forward to seeing how he goes and whether it would be him that would come in to fill the Ramadani role, if indeed the Albanian does go to pastures new.
Yeah, I think Johnny was just in an especially good mood because Lewis Capaldi had turned up to see him as well. Of course, appointments made back shop, if you like, with a new head of recruitment recruited. Makes you wonder how he got the job if there was no one there to appoint him. But even though there's been a change there, a little further on, if you think back, I mean, there was absolutely no confidence whatsoever in our recruitment department last year. Having seen the players that have been brought in previously and this summer, there is a feeling of a more international roving eye checking things out that we can rely on, isn't there, Andrew?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, you look at the signings that we've made. Esther Sokler, Slovenian, Ordadia, Israeli, Slobodan Rubicic, Serbian. You know, we've got a nucleus of players coming from sort of Central Europe or that little, I'm saying little, but it's got a big geographical area, south of Croatia, north of Greece, you know, North Macedonia. We've got Bojan from there last season and Ramadani from an Albanian. So, you know, the net has been cast far and wide. It causes all sorts of problems for stadium announcers having all these foreign names to pronounce, I must admit. But I think it's a very multicultural, multinational squad that there is at Pittodrie, which is the way football is going. But you always have to bear in mind that for European competition, you have to have 8 players in your 25-man squad who are sort of native born, and 4 of these have got to have come through your academy system. So I think Aberdeen have ticked all these boxes, but if you recall, when Jim Goodwin was manager, he never signed a Scot. At least Barry has signed a couple of Scots to augment those who are already there. But it's a very cosmopolitan looking dressing room at Pittodrie now.
We felt safe to sign some more Europeans now that Amadeus has definitely closed for the longer term, said a spokesperson. Maybe a word too for the departing Joe Lewis. I had hoped that we'd maybe find something for him in a coaching capacity, but not to be. Not just a crucial player in his time with the Dons, but a fabulous ambassador as well, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that Joe still had a year to run in his contract, but he decided to leave because he didn't fancy sitting on the bench again, just sums him up. A great servant to Aberdeen, one of the best goalkeepers that we've had. He's right up there. And both on and off the park, an absolute credit to the club, and a really nice lad as well, and a huge Alan Partridge fan, so Joe's all right with me.
Okay, let's get on to the first game of the season, and an immediate return to the Tony Macaroni Arena for Nicky Devlin. I saw a piece in Sky in the week where Martindale was being interviewed and revealed that he's actually had his playing budget cut from last year. So whatever rabbits he's pulling from hats this time around will make it even more impressive. And I don't know what his recruitment team looks like, but I imagine the words big unit feature a lot in the conversations he has, because he always seems to have a huge lump of a guy up front to batter opposition defences. And then we Bruce for anything which could be loosely termed as more intricate. Regardless of all that, no matter what team runs out onto the park for Livy, you can almost always guarantee you are in for a fight and rarely an easy game. So what's likely to make the difference in this one, Andrew?
We'll get Dave to talk about Livingston because he's seen them. I did look at their starting 11, and there's not a huge number of differences from last season. And you're right, big Newbley up front is the main focus of their attack. Bruce Anderson scores goals off the scraps. But they've got one or two decent players in there. Jason Holt works hard in the middle of the park. Andrew Shinney is a good footballer. Roy Montaño can play. And of course, I did see that piece that Davy Martindale did, and they were talking about getting a new captain. And he said, oh, we can't afford an armband, so I've just gone with the same one, Captain Devlin. So it's Michael Devlin, who's well known to all of us, who's going to be their captain this season. And just in a personal note, I really hope that Michael has an injury-free season and plays to the potential that we all know he's capable of, apart from on Saturday. I hope he gets run ragged on Saturday and when he comes to Pittodrie, but he'll understand me saying that. But no, I think you know what you get with Livingston. They will battle every inch of the way, and that's what it's going to have to be for Aberdeen. But that's what Barry wants. He wants a team that's going to press, a team that's going to run, a team that's going to be fit. And we've seen that already in the close season, that they'll look that way. So they're well prepared. They'll know what's in front of them on Saturday, but they'll know it's going to be roll the sleeves up. This one's going to be a battle.
Is there not even a space to wish Michael Devlin, a good game, a good performance, but still that they get rummeled overall?
I suppose so. Miofsky hat trick would be fine.
Yeah. You saw them, Dave. What did you think?
For the first 44 minutes, Cole matched them, and then slack defending, and then in this second half, again, it was set pieces that did for Cove. So, you know, Cove were the better team, to be fair, in the first half up at Balmoral last week. So, not particularly. I was impressed with Bruce up front, because the amount of times that Cove tried a back pass and Bruce was right in there, you know, didn't look favourite to get the ball, but he's just so quick, and he got a goal with a header, which we know Bruce, he's not the biggest in the world, but it was a really well taken header. So he's looking very sharp, and he'll need to be watched. And Boy Newbley is an absolutely huge unit up front who will batter defenders. So again, that's something to look out for. Although, to be fair, other than set pieces, and he didn't score, but other than set pieces, Cove defended really well, but the set plays were their downfall.
More a story of Cove's feelings rather than Livy's successes.
Yeah, I think so. And Paul, at the end of the game, that's exactly what he said. You know, we can't defend like that and expect to come out of the game. But as they, right up until the stroke of half time, Cove more than matched Livy.
Okay. We've spoken about a lack of depth in defence this early in the season with injuries. One player I haven't mentioned that much earlier was Ross McCrory, who leaves with our best wishes for the future, of course. I think when he left, there wasn't too much of a fuss made because of the time of the year and because Devlin was already seen as a sort of ready-made replacement. But I wonder if we might miss Ross's reading of a game and his talents other than defending. I'm still not convinced he's actually a defender. How do you compare the likes of him and Devlin, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, I think Devlin's more defensively minded than Ross. Loved to come forward. I mean, we've seen Devlin going forward. I mean, I've only seen him when he's playing against Aberdeen. But he always looked a good player. He's a player that likes to urge on his teammates. So, you know, even if he doesn't have the captain's armband, you know, like the captain, when he's playing for Aberdeen, he'll shout, and you know, especially his younger teammates, and help them along the way. But it'll be interesting to see. I think he's everybody speaks very highly of him. David Martindale made no secret of the fact that he would love to have kept him. And he'll know his Livy team inside out when we go down there at the weekend. So no, I think it's looks like a very astute signing. And it wasn't like Aberdeen were the only club interested in him. I believe Hearts were sniffing around as well, but he decided Aberdeen. And again, you know, Barry has taken over that mantle that Derek had, where, you know, being able to convince players, potential players, that Aberdeen's their best place for their next career. I mean, you know, Leighton Clarkson's a great example as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. More than a few unknown quantities for us across the entire squad at this stage, Andrew, but also in defence alone. There's no Matty Pollock this year, but you hope one of the other big guys can sort of make his absence less noticeable. What I'm more concerned about, in a way, is whether we'll get another, or even the original, Liam Scales into the club, someone who can not only cover defensively, but pick out a pass from there again as well. A little bit more of a culture defender, if you like. Do you think we've got one of those in there already?
It's difficult to say. Jack McKenzie, it's going to be a big season for Jack. He looked decent against Charlton. He's the left-sided central defender in the three at the moment, alongside Jack Milne and Nicky Devlin. But with Rubisic coming in and Dadia coming in, will that mean that Devlin might move out to wing-back and Dadia will play centre-back, or vice versa? Rubisic is at 6'4". And looking like a brick outhouse, looks to be your big guy in there to counter the Joel Newblaze of the SPFL. So it'll be interesting to see, as I say, if the coaching staff feel that his match sharpness is adequate for an SPFL game on an artificial surface against a big rumble you up type centre forward like Joel Newbley on Saturday. Certainly all the noises coming from Serbia is that he's a big, strong, powerful defender who wants to impose himself on a game. So the proof's going to be in the pudding, as we've said before. We're in this strange position just now that we've got all these new players coming in to get excited about, but really, until we've seen them in the competitive arena, we don't know exactly what they're capable of, because we've seen in the past players who look great playing against lower league opposition in friendly matches, close season matches, and then you wonder, were they actually there on Saturday when you play your first game of the season? You hope that's not going to be the case, but we're going to be in a better position to talk about things like that next week. That's us sitting in the fence at Panzer for you.
I get the feeling Slobodan's going to go through the season shaking hands with number nines going, I must crush you. Up top, Dave, Bojan Miovski spent most of the summer recovering, as we know, slotting into place, and Andrew spoke about him earlier, in those warm-up games, is another new signing in the form of Ester Soklet, bagging a hat-trick in that 9-0 victory over Turriff. Can we expect big things from him? And also, the thing that I'm interested in, and I don't imagine it'll be the case, but I can't see him and Bojan playing together. Can you?
I think you're right, John. I don't see it happening very often, if at all. But, the signs are good. But again, to use Andrew's phrase from his last answer, the proof of the pudding, will be once we see him in competitive action. But the signs are good. He's been looking good in training, and Barry's been speaking very highly of him. But it's great just to have another option. And the one, thing he's got is he won't be known to opposition defences, so it'll be an unknown quantity, which hopefully we can take advantage of.
He won't have second season syndrome, at least until next season. Okay, let's get into a first score predictor for this season, away to Livingston. How's it going to go? Livy versus Aberdeen. Dave?
Okay, I'm putting my neck in the line at a very early stage of the season, but I think 0-3.
Andrew?
I'm not quite so optimistic. I'll go 0-2.
Oh, so that leaves me like 1 or 4.
Yep. Or you can go for Livingston with Michael Devlin having an outstanding game.
Oh, I want him to have an outstanding game and not get injured, but I also don't want him to win. So I'm going to say 3-1. 3-1 for the Dons. I think we might concede. Let's move on to the under-18s next. This is where things become slightly less predictable, Andrew, I suppose, because often, it's not so much at this level anyway, where players get picked up and signed by somebody else, although there is and has been an element of that. There's the fact you maybe grow too old for the age group, and quite often that'll happen with a clump of players, or in the case of the likes of Alfie Bavage, you impress enough at under-18 level to be sort of plucked from there to continue your progress working with the first team. So how do you feel things are shaping up for this season with the under-18s? Have they maintained the nucleus of the previous squad?
There's one or two of the younger members of last season's squad, obviously, are still young enough to play. But there's been quite a few who have graduated from the under-16s who won their league last season, have moved up to Stuart Duff and Scott Anderson's under-18 squad. Looking at the team that opened the season against Queen's Park on Friday with a 2-1 win, excellent away win, despite being without One player, Rodrigo Vítor, the goalkeeper, was sent off in the 46th minute, so the Dons had to play virtually half a game with only 10 men. But goals from Fletcher Boyd and Jamie Mercer gave them the victory. So you're looking at that side from last season, and well, Finlay Marshall has joined Alfie Bavage in the first team squad. Blair McKenzie and Liam Harvey are out on loan at Elgin City. Aaron Reid is on loan at Peterhead. But you've got Rod Vitals, Mercer, Victor Enham. Alfie Stewart's the captain of the side this season. Congratulations to him. Cammy Wilson, Fraser Mackie, Fletcher Boyd, Lewis Carroll, Kostovi Kondolo. A few new names in there to look at for next season. Their next assignment is away to Brora Rangers. How often does that happen? The Challenge Cup draw is made, and
Wow.
we go away to Brora. It's happened again this season, so they're up there tomorrow night. That will be a major test for the young boys. But it was an excellent win away to Queen's Park on Friday. Queen's Park are a side that I think will do well in the under-18s league. It's an 11-team league, bizarrely, so there's always one side is going to be spare every week. That it goes to a split, the same as the top division. So we'll see how it goes. But the early signs are good, but it's going to be a big season for the younger element in that side. I don't think there's the goals in the team that there was. Obviously, with Bavage coming out, Liam Harvey coming out, that's 50 odd goals straight away gone. Lewis Pirrie, he went down to Leeds United, and the very best of luck to him down there. So I think we may be stronger in a defensive way, but maybe not so potent up front. But things will work out. I'm quite sure of it.
Yeah, last season we were really in contention for a large part of the season, then lost our puff a wee bit towards the end of it. How do you think we're going to do this year? Too difficult to tell?
It's going to be a little bit the same as last season, I think, because it is a big step up from under 16s to under 18s. You're going to have guys who are in their first seasons as full-time professionals. It's a big difference training every single day and probably doing a lot of double sessions, plus all the other work that you've got to do behind the scenes, cleaning dressing rooms, learning your trade by cleaning players' boots, et cetera, that you don't do at under 16 level when you're in the door as a full-time pro. So it's how well they handle that and how quickly they can acclimatise to that that will determine how well the team will do this season. But I would imagine that every other club in the division is in the same boat. So if it's down to pure skill and desire, Aberdeen will be right up there.
Okay, on to Aberdeen's women, Dave. It was always going to be a tough opening season back in the top flight. The progress the girls had made simply to get there was quick, perhaps almost a little too quick in a way, and they struggled for a lot of the season to make their mark. Dug deep, found just enough quality and more than enough courage to maintain their place in the table in order to have another crack this season. Now, I know the gulf at the top is a tough one to close, but I'm hoping this season will be a chance to show steady progress with any luck. The work continues to move the team towards fully professional status, a couple of new signings there, and they finally got a new manager. What do you know about and make of him?
Not a lot, to be honest, but it does seem he's got a lot of good contacts down south, hence the signing on loan of Liverpool's young keeper. I was speaking to Francesca Ogilvie a couple of weeks ago, and she'd had a couple of training sessions with him. So her early impressions were that it was a very good signing, the manager. But at that point, they only had 13 signed players. So, I still think they do need a wee bit more signings to give themselves a squad that's going to be able to compete again with when injuries and suspensions come into play. But no, early signs again. It's until the competitive action starts. It was a good win at the weekend there in the pre-season game, but again, it all counts for nothing if we can't get the points on the board once the season starts. So, but it'll be interesting. A lot of new players, new management team. It'll make it, something to look out for and hopefully go better than we did last year. Because although it's consolidation, I think the squad hopefully has a chance of getting into that top six.
Before we leave the Dons tonight, a couple of other things. New strips all round. Thoughts? Let's go with the home kit first, Dave.
Yeah, very not quite as fancy or off the wall as the away kit, but yeah, very smart. And if I was the type of person that bought replica kits, I'm sure I would buy one, but I'm not.
Andrew, home kit.
Very Spanish looking, I think somebody said. My initial thought when I saw it was, not too sure about that. Then when I saw it in the flesh, as it were, it's one that grows on you. Like Dave, I'm not the one of those that goes and buys replica football kits. Never have done.
That's very down your nose. Both of those things. I'm not one of those that goes and buys replica football
No,
kits.
I have.
And the Northern Lights away kit, I'll give you an example. My son loves it, and that's something I'm noticing more of, is that it appealed straight out the gate to the younger fan, perhaps more than the older end of the market. I had some reservations, but I tell you what makes all the difference to me is, see, when you see the shorts with the top and that entire kit actually on an athlete, I'm coming around to it. What do you make of it, Andrew?
I liked it. I was across in Belfast on holiday when the pictures came out, and I thought,
And
wow, that's a
you
bit
saw them
different.
from there with the naked eye.
With the naked eye, absolutely. I just thought, yeah, good on you. It's something a bit different. I fully expected it to be something akin to, I think it was the German World Cup kit that they wore back in November, the white and black, which has been a staple of Aberdeen away kits down the years. But I think, as you say, it's to appeal to the younger generation who will wear it as a fashion item as much as anything else. And judging by the sales, it's been
Yeah,
a winner.
it's good. You, if you look right across the red shed, I reckon that's where you're going to see it most, at home games anyway. And I know it's the away shirt, but I reckon you'll see it in there. Dave, your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, well, when it came out, I thought it was looked good as a leisure top, but not as a football top. But like you, when it's seen in the context of the full strip on athletes, then it's
Yeah.
quite impressive. So yeah, I'd absolutely, full marks to the club for being fairly bold in their design, because there's some shockers out there this season.
Yeah. Just one other thing I didn't want to let pass. Just towards the start of another season, we got the sad news of Craig Brown's passing. Now, Craig was a constant presence in the corridors at Pittodrie, really, ever since he arrived as manager with Archie. And even when he became a non-exec director and latterly ambassador, if you were there only on match days, he was always there too. And I wanted to give you guys a chance to remember him and have a word or two. Dave.
Yeah, I mean, Craig became a very good friend to both Andrew and myself, and I kept in touch with him right up and to the end regularly. It was, his insight into Scottish football, it was right up to the end, sharp as a tack. And Andrew and I were fortunate enough to do a Red Rewind with Craig last year, and surprise, surprise, our 45 minutes maximum became the longest Red Rewind we'd ever done. And that was having to cut it even then. But no, just a wonderful, wonderful guy. And his breadth of football knowledge, just second to none. And a huge, huge miss and loss, not just to football, just to Scottish personality. There's no equal to Craig, so he'll be sorely missed. And typical Craig, the last message you got from him was, so I said, how are you keeping? It was in June, before the Cash for Kids charity match. He was out of hospital, and I said, I assume you're not being stupid and trying to come up to Aberdeen. He said, no, I'm going to be fine, but I'm feeling a lot better, despite the fact that I think at that point he knew things weren't going to get better. But that was just Craig. It was never about him. He just wanted to put a positive slant on everything.
As I understand it, for that game, he actually phoned in a team talk, though.
He did, yeah, he did phone Graham, the organizer, and again, that's typical Craig.
Yeah.
He's just a football devotee right to the end.
Andrew.
I'll miss Craig Brown, the man, as much as the football manager. Right up there amongst the very best football managers this country's ever produced. But for me, there's been no man that I've ever met that would had the equal of Craig Brown. Always friendly, always encouraging. Anytime that he met someone, he's shown a light in their life, and that light will never go out, as we remember Craig Brown.
I was looking at all the tributes coming into him online, and if there's a constant amongst them, it's that nobody who ever spent time in his company came away feeling the worse for it. And I think that's something to be said about anybody, really. Okay, to matters further afield, and this time last year, we were full of hope and optimism for Cove as they embarked on their first ever season in the Championship, which I think on balance is probably the toughest and certainly most competitive of the top flight leagues in Scotland. In the end, they were relegated by the smallest of margins and now find themselves back in League One. The question is, can the bounce back happen straight away to the Championship? I'll be honest, Dave, I haven't been paying too much attention to the progress in the League Cup to date, other than I saw a 5-0 thumping against Livy the other night. Cove were on the end of quite a few pastings last season. To be fair, in this one, they weren't up against Premiership opposition, but I'm hoping now Paul Hartley's been in there a little while and got a shot at the transfer market, he can begin to turn things around. Will he?
Yeah, I think he will. I mean, it's so difficult to predict because they've made 18 signings since the end of last season, which is quite incredible. I saw the Clyde game where they, Clyde obviously relegated to League Two, but they won that one 5-2 over Ranclyde. The Livingston game, as I say, they matched for the first half until stoppage time. They were still in with a chance of progressing in the via play up until late on when Livy got the late goal against Clyde on Saturday, and Cove lost a goal in stoppage time, but won in penalties at Hamilton, where they go, ironically, this weekend. But I think they've got one of the strongest squads for League One, and they know League One. They won it two seasons ago, so there won't be anything unexpected.
Yeah, whatever happens, it is rare, as you say, for a couple of teams to be thoroughly sick to the back teeth of each other before a season even kicks off. But that just might be the case for Cove and Hamilton, relegated together from the Championship, drawn together in the group stages of the League Cup, and now playing each other on day one of the League One season. Cove away for this one. How's it going to go, Dave?
Well, I think maybe a narrow window. I'll go for 2-1 Cove.
Okay. For being ahead, determined to avoid reigniting a local derby with Cove, they got relegated too and began their campaign in League Two with a home tie away to East Fife. It's a difficult league to get out of as well, this one, Andrew, isn't it? I mean, we spoke last season of it being a hard sell to get players to come to Peterhead at the best of times, never mind when they've just been relegated. And possibly the best place to cast the net would be the Highland League for local talent already based here. Has there been much sign of that? I mean, how do you rate the Blue Toons' hopes of jumping straight back into League One?
It's going to be difficult. They started their Viaplay Cup section in a positive style, getting a draw against Spartak Thistle at Balmoor, but then lost their other three games. I think, you know, like Cove, it's going to be difficult to get out of League Two at the first time of asking because it's so competitive. You've got Spartans have just come in there. There'll be a few sides that will fancy their chances of winning that league. So it's important you get away to a good start. And an away game at East Fife isn't the easiest start of the season. In terms of their squad, I think Ryan and Jordan they've taken in Blessing Oluyemi, the goalkeeper from Aberdeen. You've got Aaron Reid, Aberdeen striker, in on loan to augment their attack, which is being led by Kieran Shanks, ex-Aberdeen. There's a lot of guys who have had connections with Aberdeen rather than Highland League players in there. So it'll take a wee bit of time for their squad to gel, but they'll be looking to get away to a positive start, but it's going to be difficult, particularly away to East Fife, because I would imagine they'll be one of the sides that will really fancy their chances of going up this season. So if they can get a good result down there on Saturday, it'd be a great way to start their season.
Okay, in the Highland League, they're already into their season. It started last weekend. And before kick-off, the league table read Banks of Dee, Brechin City, Broader Rangers and Bucky Thistle. I wonder how close that might be to protecting the top four places in the table come the end of it. Maybe not in that order, but not far off. The first weekend, the results ran like this. Banks of Dee 4, Wick Academy 0. Brechin City 1, for Martin United 0. Clach 2, Bucky Thistle 3. Devonville 1, Keith 0. Forest Mechanics 2, Strathspey Thistle 1. Fraserburgh 3, Lossiemouth 1. Nairn County 0, Broader Rangers 1. Rothes 1, Huntly 4. and Tariff United 4, Inverurie Locos 1. After that opening round, Banksiddy take an early lead in the table. Care to guess where the title goes this season, guys? I think most folk thought Brechin would win it at a canter last season, and it went to the wire in the final day. So who's going to get there this year? Dave?
Brechin, I mean, they struggled to beat for Martin, who have added to their squad over the summer, but Brechin obviously are one of the favourites. Fraserburgh, Bucky will be up there in the mix. And I think after their 20-odd point deduction last season, I think Banksiddy might just have if not win it, which would be asking an awful lot, certainly have a say in where the destination is going to go. Yeah. But Brechin are going to be very hard to dislodge. Make no bones about that.
Okay. Now, before we finish, we've got some football and tennis. First of all, the juniors, Dave.
Yeah, well, the season got underway with the Jim McPherson Trophy, the juniors' answer to the Charity Shield on Saturday, which pits the winners of the Premier League, Cooter, against the winners of the Regional Cup, Cooter. So Cooter obviously couldn't play themselves. So Rothie Rovers, the runners-up, took their place, and it finished 4-1 to Cooter, although Rovers took an early lead through Lewis Hendry. A double from Cammy Fraser, Craig McCaskill and Ryan Smart kept Cooter basically going ahead how they left off at the end of last season when they, if you remember, had a clean sweep of all the trophies in the North East. Tonight sees the start of the Grill League Cup action. Cooter at home to Banksiddy Juniors, and Rothie are also at home there against Maud. And then on Saturday, it's all Grill League Cup action, group stages again, other than the start of the McBookie.com Premier League with one game. So Dice and Ellen United meet at Ian Mayer Park, with both having an early chance to go top of the league by virtue of having the only game played. And then tennis, the North East of Scotland Championships get underway on Sunday. Men's singles, 275 competitors taking part. So men's singles, very high quality. The top seed is Nicholas Rosenzweig of University of St Andrews. And then seeded 2, 3 and 4 are former winners. Bruce Strachan from Barnton Park, Jason Barnett from David Lloyd Northwood, and the defending champion from Newlands, Patrick Young. And in the women's singles, Anna Gillespie is the top seed, and Varada Kamati, both of those players play out of Culls. They're the top two seeds. And play starts at 6 p.m. on Sunday, goes all the way through the week, all day and all evening. And finals day is a week on Saturday.
And that is pretty much it for episode 85 of Pittodrie PS for this week. Remember, we publish every Tuesday where we can, always looking back to the Don's previous fixtures and ahead to the next. Please remember to follow us on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you could rate and review us, tell us what you think of the show too, we'd be very grateful. Thanks for checking out Pittodrie PS. We'll see you next time.